Welcome to the Ohana Life Podcast, where we try to have interviews and conversations with people to help you along your health and wellness journey. In this episode, I spoke with Denise McMahon of the Bridge to Natural Wellness Center in Manchester, New Hampshire. She offers a service of muscle testing to help find nutrition and pathology that may be in the body that may be causing either pain, different sensation, uncomfortableness, or possible anxiety, depression, those type of symptoms. She works very well with what you already have existing in your life. She is just there to help you get more pieces of the puzzle to your life experience. I worked with her for about 2 years or so, learning and experiencing what it is that she does so that I would understand it a little bit better for my family. It was very eye-opening for me, especially what went on in my own body and what we discovered. So I hope that you can learn as much as possible in this episode, and I will add to the episode notes where you can find her should you have any questions. Enjoy. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. I know this is not your thing to be doing podcasts and maybe your first one, but I'm super duper excited to be able to have people understand more what you do. So we actually are a little similar because we both started in the corporate world.
Yes.
And
that's right.
You left it for a specific reason to then go into this newer career that we're going to talk all about today. Do you want to tell us anything about that, kind of your past and what made you change career paths?
Well, when I was in banking through mergers and acquisitions, I couldn't treat people like people anymore, and it was starting to make me sick. And so I think it was the universe's way of telling me, you're not supposed to be here anymore. Because when I finally did leave, well, the universe made it happen for me. So I said, all right, I can't do this by myself. I need some help. And so they presented me with a package, which was really a nice package. So I took it. And then I ended up getting offered a job with another bank. And when I was in the parking lot going for the interview, I really thought I was going to be sick in the parking lot. So I called up and I said, I'm sorry, I have to reschedule. I'm not feeling well. So they rescheduled it. Same thing happened when I went the next time. So I said, okay, I get it. I'm not supposed to be here. And I called up a friend of mine. I said, this job is available and I think you'd be perfect for it. So you should apply for it. And she did get it. So then I had to figure out what I wanted to do for with the rest of my life. And through, you know, different steps led me to this point. So what
is it exactly that you do? What is it called? First of all, it's called something specific.
Well, it's called nutrition response testing. Okay. And what it does is it's a way to find out from the body what is going on inside by a yes or no answer based on arm strength. We have what's called kinesiology points. So all of our organs have nerves that surface to the skin. And so those are kinesiology points related to those organs. So once I am near those points, then based on the arm strength, their body will tell me whether it's a weak point or not. And that is pretty much, in a nutshell, what nutrition response testing is. It's looking for weaknesses in your body, what is contributing to those weaknesses, and what can we do? What kind of supplements or nutrition can we offer them that their body will say, yes, that is the right thing that I need to help me to do my job. So
basically every body is willing to tell a story because we all have our own individual story. So when you do this testing, you're trying to get the story out of the body, or what the body is trying to tell you or us.
Yes.
As you're doing
and,
it.
Yeah. So sometimes we need to ask questions, and their body actually says no, even though they're there and they want to, they're not willing to do things, to give food up or whatever their body says, they're not willing to do it. So then we have to chat and figure out why. And then I think once their body actually allows them to tell me why, then we can proceed. So sometimes it's pulling a little bit of teeth. Sometimes there's emotions involved. And mm-hmm. so we have to deal with that because it's the whole body, right? Body, mind, soul, spirit.
Yeah, it's a whole piece to health and healing.
Yeah.
So I've been going to you for probably, I want to say 6 or 7 years, maybe. and the whole family goes to you. And so we realize that there's these kind of symptoms that were in our body that maybe we contributed to age, like, oh, I have this little pain in my shoulder, and oh, I have this little pain in my back, or oh, my wrist doesn't work that well on this side. And through your testing, you were able to find things like, so I'll give an example for me. So the first thing you found in me was formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
And I had tons of formaldehyde in my body. And then you sort of, once that was cleared, we found other things. So there was Lyme, I think I had pesticides. And so I had all these things in my body. And then it's not like you were treating the shoulder, the back, right? But you were treating where it was affecting the organs. And then over time, these things started to go away on me, even right. like a little mole, or even if it was a wart, like something that I just chalked up to, like, this is what we get, went away just based on these kind of protocols that you give. So my body told you what it was that I needed. And so how does the testing go? Is it the highest priority thing that needs to be fixed first usually shows up?
Yes, because that high is the present priority is stopping the whole body from doing its job. So, and their body's basically saying, if you don't help me get rid of this first, then I can't go into the deeper things that might be affecting me more. They're just hidden away. So we have to open the door. What does it take to open that door to allow their body to start to detox and maybe start doing things by itself? So that's what we're there to find out.
So the peeling of the layers of the onion, right?
Right, right. So
what is maybe the biggest thing that you see at your office, the most common?
Well, there really is three things, but the biggest one is Lyme disease. I mean, so many people can be misdiagnosed with different things, and it's Lyme that's actually behind it all, because it just changes everything in your body. So it gives misdirection or mixed signals or misinformation to whoever's checking them as to what it is, because it can be so many things.
So Lyme, so a tick, it could come from a tick. We found maybe it comes from mosquitoes.
It can come from mosquitoes. It can come from a horse fly bite. Any bug that bites anybody that has Lyme can actually bring it and pass it on to somebody else, which is a little scary, but you can't stop living.
You can't stop
you just,
living.
No, exactly. You just have to just take precautions and do your best to be careful. That's all.
So what are some of the, so Lyme is the one thing, and then there's co-infections,
yeah.
right? So there's co-infections that each tick could possibly carry, or any blood-bearing insect.
Right.
Okay. So go ahead.
So we have what's called stressor kits for us. And they're little vials that carry the electronic resonance or the frequency of those toxins in that little vial. So when we're checking a particular area of your body, or sometimes just in the beginning of the testing, we're checking to see if your body's reacting to any of those. So we have, for Lyme, we have lots of Lyme vials. We have anaplasmosis, babesia, Bartonella, ehrlichiosis, Borrelia. We have Powassan. And then we even have the Lone Star tick, and it's called alpha-gal, which is a particular protein for the tick down south. So the Lone Star tick. So it's a, it is a, it's not up here yet, but as soon as we heard about it, we ordered that vial just to be on the safe side. But people become anaphylactic, reactive to meat fat. So just plain beef, and all of a sudden they're in the hospital having a reaction to it. But that's more down south, like I said, not up here. So we have all those vials that we test people for, and mycoplasma. I don't know if I mentioned that one. So, and there's a bunch of other ones that we're looking at that's starting to come into play that, you know, we're going to get vials for to make sure that we're covering all our bases. And
so these are vials that you would put close to the person's body, and right, you press on their arm.
I press on their arm, and if their arm goes weak, then they're reacting to it. Or, and if they're strong, then they're not. So if they go weak, then we have to find where, what part of the body are we going to see that? And so then we start to go hunting, and I hold those vials in my hand, and we check all the other areas of the body, including the lymphatic system, any organs associated with fluid movement. We check nerve pathways. So we check an awful lot of things to see where it's hiding.
And so can you explain why the arm would get weak?
Well, two reasons. First, they would get weak if they're having that reaction to that vial, because their body is pulling all its energy to try to protect them from the energy of that vial. And we've actually had a couple of people feel like passing out just because of that energy frequency, and their body knew it and was afraid of it. So like, get away from me, it's already affecting me. So they were going into protective mode. And then the other reason would be, there's a way to check to see whether or not it's called blocking. So it's blocking their body from doing certain things. So first you can either have a weakness, but then it's taking over your body so much that it's blocking your whole body from doing its job. So, and that's putting the hand over the ear. And when the hand is over the ear, that's what we're looking for. We're looking to see if it's blocking any parts of your body. And as long as the arm in that part is weak, then that means the channel's open. And if it's not, then that's where we have to be to check and see where it's getting stuck and where it's being blocked. So
the first one was that your core has to always be protected. So it will take energy out of the limbs first. So
right,
when it feels threatened, it's going to come out of your arm, make mm-hmm. that weak to protect where you're putting the vial. Okay.
Right.
So Lyme can kind of affect any organ, right? It could be in the heart, it could be in the brain, it could be, So that's why everyone has, it's not a symptom that's easy to track down, because you don't know what co-infections you have, and you don't know where it's sitting in your own body.
Right. And that's different for everyone.
Everyone. Like, everyone is an individual. So I worked with you for maybe 2 years, where I helped to kind of understand it a little bit myself. And it was so interesting how everybody needed something completely different. It wasn't ever the same dosage. It wasn't the same mix of homeopathics even.
Right.
So would you say that some illness or pathology would always go to the weaker areas first?
Yes, that is 99% of the time. Wherever your body has a weak point, then that's where it can have free range. So that's where it's going to go. That's where it seems to go first is your weak point.
Yeah.
So people don't realize that it's something else. They think that, well, that was my weak point before, so it's just acting up and it's not anything new. In reality, it is, because that deeper, darker thing is actually making that worse. So.
And then sometimes you have a conduit.
Right.
So explain what a conduit is and why you would need one.
So most people that come to our office is either too weak. Because we check so many places, I would be pressing on their arm well over 1,000 times. And because we check so many areas, and sometimes it's a lot more depending on trying to find what the body really needs. So most people are either too weak to hold their arm up for that long. So I would get a false reading, or they're stuck in fight or flight. So they could be weak, but they're just stuck in fight or flight. That switch has never turned off. So if I use their arm is not going to be able to tell me where those real weak points are. So by using a conduit, and when I say a conduit, so somebody else puts their hand on that client's shoulder and they become an extension of their energy. Now that conduit has to be tested too, periodically, to make sure that they're balanced, because somebody just can't step in and be a conduit without having their body being taken care of itself already. So otherwise something and that person can show up in my client. So we need to make sure that they're balanced. So we always do that. So then I would use that conduit's arm. And the conduit's arm doesn't know all the stuff going on in that person's body. So even though that person is feeling weak everywhere in their entire body, the conduit is only going to tell me where those real weak points are, which makes it so much easier. So
it does. It makes it easier to test. And then it tells you the story even quicker than trying to fight with somebody else's nervous system. Although, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, right? Like, how is it that you can touch this person? Then,
so, you know, I do try to show them with their arm. I mean, especially with foods. And then, you know, they say, well, you're pressing harder on my arm. Well, I'm not. Look at my hand. I use one finger to press on their arm to show them that they're feeling a weakness in their shoulder. So that they can actually feel the energy leaving their arm, going to a different place in their body to show me. So, you know, once a person is used to coming, if they really want me to use their arm, I can, unless something shows up where, you know, their body's just back stuck in fight or flight. So it's not going to show me again. So then we bring in a conduit. So there's a lot of different things that we can do, but especially for the first couple of visits, I need to use a conduit. Otherwise, I'd have people on so many more things, which they don't need.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
let's talk about, so someone signs up to see you. The first appointment is at about 2 hours, sometimes shorter, depending on what they see.
Right. Yeah.
And then the first thing you check is nutrition.
Correct.
You check all, so maybe you can go into that. What is it that you check?
So just like the stressor vials that we have for the toxins, metals, chemicals, Lyme, viruses, we have those little vials that has the frequency of foods. And so we check a number of things. We check for the typical food allergies. And I shouldn't really say allergies, sensitivities. So if your body has been weak for a long period of time, after a while, you start starts to affect other parts of your body, and digestion is one of them, especially if the left vagus nerve is involved, and we can go into that after. But so all of a sudden, so before where you could digest foods, and now as the years are going by, now all of a sudden they're the same, those same foods that you could eat before, all of a sudden it's not working anymore. You can't get a stomachache, a headache. It doesn't always have, or joint aches. It doesn't have to be a stomach ache. So that is a food that all of a sudden your body can't figure out how to process it. So by checking the foods first, we're checking to see that at this point in that person's life, their healing process or whatever it is that the stage that they're in, we're checking to see what foods do they have to avoid in order for their body to do the best job that it can to try to get things to work again. So, you know, sometimes, and that's the big thing, they say, well, I don't have a stomach ache when I eat those foods. Well, it's not even a stomach ache. It's if that creates an inflammatory response, you don't have to feel it in your stomach. You can have a headache. You can have brain fog. You can have joint aches. But your body has to take energy away from everywhere it can to try to bring that energy to your intestinal tract, stomach, and everything to try to break that food down because your body's not able to do it right now. That makes your whole body weak. And so take that food out of the mix, and now all of a sudden your body's got all this energy back where it's supposed to be to try to break those foods down. So until we actually can detox of whatever it is we're going to find, then those are the foods your body is saying to not have right now. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel it. I'm not going to get better. So those things are checked off on the list that we provide. And that is a big deal. That's 90% of them getting better faster is avoiding foods.
It's, you know, in yoga, we look at the body wants to conserve energy at all times, right? So if you eat something that your body doesn't want, then it's going to take more energy to process it, which doesn't need to happen, but it will start to depress your immune system. Mm-hmm. And right now, all we're trying to do is make sure our immune system is working optimally. And the gut is one of those ways, right?
Right. Yeah, the gut is a big part of your immune system. So if it's suffering, then you can bet some other part of your body is going to be suffering too.
So it's not technically an allergy, but it is.
It's a sensitivity, I would call it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whatever's going on at that time.
And when I had come to you, so we used to eat popcorn every single night. So we'd get kernels, we'd put it in a pan and we'd pop it up, and Steve and I would have popcorn every single night. And when I had gone to you, one of the things that showed up for me was corn. And I thought, you know, this probably makes sense because there's only so much of one food you can eat in one lifetime, right? Like at some point the body is going to go, I've had my capacity. I've had enough of that. There's no more way I can process that. And it doesn't want anything to do with it. Right. And that made sense to me. That made sense to me to give it up and say, I've had my fill, I've had my share, and I'm good. Okay. So then after the nutrition piece, so you've checked all of their nutrition, and there's also a component of that. Like if they can't have corn, say, the corn might be in some of the vitamins that they're taking.
And so we have to make sure. Yeah. So we have everyone bring everything that they're currently taking, because there's a lot of great products out there. And we want to make sure that if that piece is something that their body needs and wants, then we got to make sure that that food is not in there. Otherwise, they're not getting the benefit of that vitamin. So we check all of their supplements, everything, to make sure that those foods aren't in there. And corn, I mean, so gluten and dairy is one that's pretty obvious. And on most supplements or other products, it will say right on there. But corn is not always one of them. So I teach them how to Google it to find out, because that's the easiest way to find out. And That's can be just as tough as gluten. So,
yeah. And so you show them with either a bar of chocolate or butter that if they put this near their body, their arm is going to go weak because their body immediately said, "Ooh, this is going to weaken me. I've got to conserve at the core and I'm going to take from the limbs." Right. Which is a really great, I mean, it's a very eye-opening experience to be able to feel that in your own body. I certainly do it at the grocery store. I'll, you know, tell Travis, push on my arm. Can I have this?
As a matter of fact, this is a good time to bring this up. So it's when people come in and at that time, if it's food is such an issue that is creating such an inflammatory response that their body may not always show me what's behind all that inflammation. So they have to go and get away from those foods for at least anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks, have all that inflammation come down. And then I can find behind that whether there is Lyme or something else that's deeper in the body that is causing a lot of issues. So,
yeah, that's true. Before you can even start the process of finding anything, the body could be too. Mm.
So if at that time it's only foods, then I have time. I have an opportunity to actually take the food vials. And I love doing this, but I don't always have time to do it. But I use their arm and I scan their body with that food vial. And the conduit writes down all the organs that are going to be affected by those foods. And the biggest one always comes out to be the adrenal glands. I am so amazed at how much the adrenal glands suffer or are so weakened by foods that that shouldn't be eating. So that I have not had time to do a lot of research on to figure out why, but that is a big eye opener when we have the time to do that.
Yeah, I think for me, when you checked where does chocolate affect my body, it was everywhere, especially the neck, because that's my weak spot from so many head injuries. And so I immediately feel my neck get stiff if I eat
chocolate. I did have a client that her ankles have been bothering her. They've been just going out on her a lot, and it showed up as chocolate. And so she said, "Oh my God, I've been eating a lot of chocolate lately." So, okay.
I mean, who doesn't? Chocolate is good. Well, you know, that reminds me, you know, my ankles used to hurt me all the time. And I used to be with friends and we'd be sitting at the beach or we'd be sitting with the kids. And I would be like, "Don't your ankles hurt like this?" And I thought it was just something that was the position that we were in. And it was no. And then once you've treated me for all this other stuff, that pain has completely gone.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing in yoga, you know, someone can come to me and ask me to take away pain in there. Let's just go with the ankles again. We can try all the things mobily to get their muscles, bones, getting everything working. But if there is a pathology or a food in there, I can't help. They can do all the yoga that they want, but then there's this other added layer to having this whole circle of well-being of all these skills and tools to get you better. Yeah. So sometimes people take an actual bag of groceries to you, don't they?
And they
say,
do.
"Could you test me?" I love that.
Yeah. And I have one lady that brings in her list and she has a column. She puts all the foods in, she puts the date at the top. She says yes or no, or sensitivity or something. So, and we just go through just all her foods. And I'm okay with that if that's what she wants to do. I don't have a vial for every food there is out there. I only have vials for the most common ones and then a few other ones. So we do, you know, encourage people to bring in foods that they think might be bothering them, but they're really not sure. So
that brings up another interesting point of people will, I mean, you can't really lose out by having you test the actual food because we don't know what else is in there that might not be listed on the ingredients or maybe like for me, sometimes it's the container that things are in that are toxic, like the plastics and everything. So we have to take it out of the container and then test.
I have a mother and daughter that comes in and she is so good about making sure that she brings all these different foods in for her daughter because she had a total body rash from Lyme. So anything is going to just start to make her have a rash. But we have to have her finger on the part of the package that doesn't have any writing on it. Otherwise, it's the coloring in the writing or the colors on the bag that show up. So we don't, so it's pretty, sometimes it has to get that specific. So
yeah, you've seen a lot. Yeah. You've had to really work creative ways to figure out why things are happening to people. Let's bring this to vitamins. So a lot of people take vitamins just because why not load up and hopefully that'll boost your immunity. I personally can't find a vitamin that works for me based on you, right? So we may find a vitamin that has pressed greens and just the best of the best. Anytime I see someone recommend one, I buy it. I have you test it. It never works for me. So there's something in the vitamins, all of them that we've checked so far, that just would cause my body to have to work harder to process it. So I say I would rather eat the foods that I need and not take something that would decrease my immunity. But what we have found that works great for me is wheatgrass. Right? And I love that you and I love that you said it was my soul food because it really made sense to me. Like, okay, so I may not take a vitamin that has, you know, 15 different vitamins in it.
Right.
But I know that I'm getting the one thing that my body needs every single day. Every time that I've gone to you, it has come up that I needed it.
Wheatgrass. Yeah.
Wheatgrass. And so that's my thing. But yes, we have noticed that, you know, containers have changed over the years and they have the plastics are just so toxic. So I have to take it out immediately.
The paper bag that you just brought in, it felt like it had a little bit of a clear, I don't know if it was not really plastic over it. Might've been a little bit plastic to protect the bag better. And so we couldn't really tell. So we had to take it out of that to actually test it.
So
it was okay. Yeah,
because I got a new supplier for my wheatgrass. So I wanted to make sure because I'm going to get a lot of it. Okay. So you will test somebody standing up, sitting down, and lying down. Why?
Well, I'm going to go back to when I first started learning how to do this testing. We were taught to just do lying down. And I wasn't getting the results that they claimed that we were supposed to get. And it seemed like I had people on a lot of supplements and not getting those results. So I visited a colleague of mine in Philadelphia who was near my daughter. And so she tested me standing, sitting, and lying down. And I couldn't believe the night and day difference in that. So I talked to Rick and we immediately put that into our practice. So if we stop and think about the fact that we are awake a lot of the day. And when we're trying to get through the day, it's during that awake time, not when we're lying down and resting. It's when we're standing and moving around, right? And so I felt like that was this whole piece that I wasn't maybe finding things on or doing. So when we do the standing up, the body's going to show me what do I have to do or something is affecting my whole day, my whole being, my whole body. If it's affecting all of that part, it's going to show up in the standing up section. And then when you're sitting down, you're not using as much muscles and nerves. So it allows me to see a little bit deeper. And then lying down, of course, is the rest and digest part. So it's going to let me show even deeper. But when I have those initial supplements or their homeopathic remedies on them from the standing point, now they're going to let me see what's behind it earlier. So it just made a night and day difference to do the standing, sitting, and lying down right off the bat. And boy, we just was great from there. So much better. And then we do the eyes open and eyes closed. So now in each of those positions, so we have two sides to our nervous system. we have one side that's called the parasympathetic nervous system, and that's the rest and digest side. And we have the sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight or flight side. So every part of your body, every organ in your body has a little bit of both. And sometimes parts of your body is working harder than others at certain times of the day. That's called their diurnal cycle. And then, or even whether you're just up and moving around or sitting down or whatever, you're using more muscles, nerves, more tissue, more brain tissue, whatever. So we need to make sure that weak point, we're looking at the correct side of the nervous system that's being affected more, so we can do the best job to help them get better faster. Otherwise, I could give them the wrong thing and make them feel worse. So we need to make sure we're looking at the right side of the nervous system with that organ to provide the right thing, whether it's something they're already taking and they're just not taking the right amounts, or whether it's a missing piece to that puzzle to help that organ do a better job and get it back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's what differs you from maybe like a chiropractor that does some muscle testing, because this is all you do. I mean, you do some massage as well, but this is your main focus, and you are checking every avenue, every possible avenue, standing, sitting, lying down, eyes open, eyes closed, for all the aspects of it.
Right. And once their body is ready to show me what it is that is affecting them or contributing to making their bodies have a harder time to do its job, then I hold onto that vial and scan the rest of their body with it in all those other areas to see if any other areas need support during that detox process. And if it does, then the organ is going to tell me, like, for instance, the left kidney. So if your liver has to process all toxins, so it has three places to dump those toxins: into your bowels, into your lymphatic system, and if it can't find the exit door, then it goes out through the skin. So a lot of people will show with hives or rashes or eczema or something like that. So the exit door to your lymphatic system is your kidneys and out through your urine. So sometimes all those toxins keep coming and coming and coming. And if the kidneys say, I'm too tired, I can't do this anymore, I don't know what you want from me, I need some help. And if we don't know what to help it with, then those toxins don't leave. I mean, yeah, you're going to the bathroom and you're urinating, but those toxins stick to the walls of the kidneys, and all those toxins just recirculate and recirculate and recirculate through your body, and you feel stuck, and you are. That's exactly true. So we have to see, what does the kidney need to help it to feel better so it can do the job it's supposed to do? And then things start to work and start to detox.
I look at it like a specific formula. You're giving them the specific formula to rid of this specific thing. Now, right. If someone doesn't believe maybe in the vials, I look at it as, it doesn't even matter what you find, because we really don't have to hang on to that as long as I'm feeling better and the symptoms are gone. I mean, I know that right now, just my kidneys hearing your voice are so soothed, because they just know how good you are to them. One thing that people get worried about, I think, that they don't want to start, is that maybe they're on prescription medication and they think that you'll take them off or ask them to take them off. And so I want to really nip that at the bud. So what do you do when someone comes in with prescription medication?
Well, I know I've heard this from other people and other practitioners too, that, you know, that same person that I went to in Pennsylvania that tested me, she has people get off all their prescriptions, and oh my God, that's putting extra trauma on the body. So when people come in, I automatically tell them that is not my job. My job is to get you better, get your organs better, so that your body may say, I don't think I need this anymore. And then you go back to your doctor, and between you and your doctor, you decide whether or not you want to come down with those prescriptions. So whether it's something I like or not, that's not my job. That's your body that needed it at a certain time. And so we just want to make things work better. And doing it this way, it actually makes the prescriptions work better too, so that things can flow a lot easier. And then again, at the end, it's totally up to them whether they go to their doctor and say, I'm feeling so much better. I want to see if we can wean off some of these. And again, that's their decision, not mine. So,
yeah. So what you'll do is take one dose or day's dose.
The daily dose. Yep.
Of what the prescription might be for that day. And you put it on their body for the whole
testing.
Yeah.
We take a little Ziploc bag. So we go through each prescription and ask them, because sometimes between them and our doctors, whatever the bottle says, it's not what they're actually taking. So they might have added one or added a half, or they've gone down already by themselves. So they tell me what their daily dose is, and we put all the daily dose in a little Ziploc bag, and we put it on in an apron. So their body is, because we're testing the outside of them, whether they took that prescription or not, their body's feeling the energy from that prescription. So whatever their body tells me it needs, it's going to be something that is going to work with that prescription. That's what we want. We don't want them to have any reactions. That is not what we're trying to do. You know, they're coming to me because they've been every place else. They've tried everything, and their body is already in trauma. It's already stressed out. And so our job is not to make them more stressed. We want to give them the tools that they need to be able to do their job and feel better.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that you care about wanting them to feel better without judgment, that's the thing. Yeah, it's not judging what they're already doing. It's how can we get you to a place of a better functioning human? So can you explain this certificate process of what you had to go through to get certified to do this?
Well, the main school is in Florida. And so I had to go to some, they have workshops all over the country in different cities. So I had to do a lot of preliminary workshops, either in Massachusetts, they had some in New Hampshire or Maine. And then after that, you can go from there. So you decide whether you want to sign up for the intermediate classes and then the advanced classes. So I was flying to Florida 1 week in a month for almost 18 months to do the intermediate and the advanced classes. So, and man, let me tell you, when you go down there on a Thursday night, because your class is at 8 o'clock on Friday morning and it doesn't end till 5 o'clock on Sunday night. And then you're flying home and going back to work the next day. So it's a jam packed weekend. There was one full weekend that was nothing but focus. So you would be focusing on your client in front of you, and there would be people screaming in the background. So nothing would allow, honest to goodness, nothing would allow you to not be able to do or concentrate on that person's organ or their body to figure out what it was that they needed. So there was one whole weekend of that. So, and another weekend of, you know,
I think we all need that.
Oh my goodness. Their tone scales. So if somebody came in that was, really weak, they don't want to hear somebody all bubbly. Yes, I can help you. Blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. You're in the right place. I have to be down in my voice to their level so they don't feel like I can't help them. So, you know what I'm saying? So yes.
I mean, that sounds like actual doctor training, like the emotional piece, the psychological piece of it. Yeah.
It's a lot. They really do give you a well-rounded training. So you have to look at every piece of the puzzle, the whole person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, unlock what's going on.
Well, right. Because if there's that piece that's still not going to be taken care of, then their body's not going to be willing to do the best job that it can do to try to get them better. So
can vitamins be harmful?
anything, yes. So everything is sounds really good, and oh, this is the best thing that's ever come. You really have to have this. Well, not every good piece is good for every person. So, that, you know, the right blend is the right, like you, for instance, you know, your body doesn't want, it only wanted, it wants B vitamins too. It wants that B12. It doesn't need all the other stuff to change your hormones and all this other stuff that's good for a woman. It only wants certain pieces. You eat right. A lot of people don't have time to eat right. So sometimes those people that don't always have time to eat the right foods and the, you know, and well balanced and everything, that a vitamin might be better for them. So it's different. It's different. And of course, when you look at the bottle, it says to take 6 of these or 2 of these and or 4 of these. When their body, I have so many women that come in with this wonderful vitamins, like mega food, and they only want half of it. And, you know, and a half of it works better than a whole one.
Exactly. So sometimes
people want less, can get in easier and do it instead of the whole one where their body says, oh my God, what the heck am I going to do with all this? So they have to, again, use energy from everywhere it can to try to come into their body to try to break that extra down that it can't use. So doses are such an important part, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about that actually, because, you know, when you told me wheatgrass, my body just loved it. I was like, okay, so how much do I need to take a day?
Mm-hmm.
A cup. And it was no, just a teaspoon. Cause we want to, once we find that right thing, we just want to overload. And it was like, no, if you do
one and a half teaspoons. Lisa.
Oh, 1.5. Yeah. I'm on 2. I do like an overloaded cup, overloaded teaspoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, because if I had more, then it's not going to be useful. Right. No. So it takes a lot of willpower to have to back off what we think we need. But I feel like sometimes little is better. I mean, you had a client once that it was a large man, you know, tall, big, buff man, and he needed 1/4 of a pill. because that's all his body could handle was these tiny sustained amounts to kind of rid before you could really get in there and do more. And then little Travis, you know, when Travis had Lyme, he had these huge mega doses.
Yeah.
Because he was so little, he could, he could really process it much faster. And actually, because of that, we saw you every week.
Right. And because he was actually eating right too. So he wasn't bogged down with the inflammatory responses from all the foods that he couldn't eat. So his body was more open. There was more available for his body to take in and actually do something with it. So if there's too much inflammation there, your body can only pull in what it can handle. So that's when a lot of the times when the doses are smaller. But some people that have never taken an aspirin before and they only need 1 drop of something. I had one woman that came in and it was foods and her lymph system wasn't moving. So the products, the lymphocode and the RenaPath, she only wanted 2 drops twice a day of just those 2 things and avoid the foods, and she lost 75 pounds.
Whoa, are you serious?
I'm serious. And she feels fantastic.
Well, the lymphatic system can damage
all
a lot.
That fluid that was being held in her body because of all the inflammation that was there, so it couldn't get through to leave her body. That's all she did. Yeah. So, and she looks fantastic. So all she does is just, you know, and so somebody like that, so she continues to avoid all the foods that she's supposed to. Her body knows how to handle any of the toxins coming its way. I mean, unless she came across something really difficult. But for the most part, she never gets a cold. She never gets sick. So it makes a huge difference. So that dose, depending on what stage they're at, it's all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And for Travis, because he was so young and ate well, we were going every week because everything was changing that quickly for him. So it was good. So dosage matters. And what also matters is whether you're taking it in the day or night and whether you want liquid or pill form, right? Right. My body tends to do really well with like a liquid form of anything. Do you want to talk more about that?
Yeah. I mean, if your body is already challenged with something, and so you're already not digesting a lot of foods, imagine all the supplements that you have to take. If you're not doing liquids, your body has to figure out how to break those down and where the heck do I send them in the body? So your body has to figure that out. When you're taking a liquid, some people are so weak so that the liquids work better. As soon as it hits your mouth, your body's figuring out where to send it. It doesn't have to go down to be digested. It's sending it there right away. So sometimes it makes a difference. If somebody's been taking in a pill form a supplement forever, then their body likes that pill form. So it's going to continue to do that. But you know, sometimes it says I've had enough of the pill form. I can't do that anymore. I just need to like let it happen. So the liquids come into play, but that's where, you know, the using the arm strength to see your body's the only one that knows what it needs. Nobody else. So your body knows whether it's a liquid, a pill form, how much to take and when. So that's what we write down on the sheet is what people's bodies actually say. So there's a ton of women that they do want an oil. Sometimes they have enough good oils, that coconut oil or fish oil, whatever, in their diet. They don't need another fish oil. So they burp it. Well, that's because their body says, I don't need this. I'm getting it already from someplace else. I can't use this.
But I think too much fish oil causes bruising, right?
Yeah, it could. Yeah. Fish oil is a blood thinner. Actually. And so some people that do want an oil, a fish oil, they only want one a day, where the bottle might say take 3, 4, 5, or 6. And they only want it at dinner because that's when the body is saying, I can absorb this the best at night. And so that's where it goes on the sheet. So that makes a big difference. And it's funny because we've had a couple of people get their night pills, so they try to take it in the morning and they can't. They get an upset stomach, they burp, and so they go back, all right, I'm gonna be better at taking my nighttime doses, and it works better. So it's funny.
Yeah, the burping. And also, like, I've been on stuff and I know I don't need it anymore when I can't swallow it. Like, I can't get that pill down. And you said, that's because your body doesn't want it. Like, trust that. Don't take it. Yeah. If it's hard to swallow it, that might be the reason.
Yeah. It's your body saying, no, don't put that down. Stop.
Let's talk about the beautiful vagus nerve.
Oh, yes.
So you see this off quite a bit.
Yes. Because, yes, 99% of the time. Because, you know, because this is a very different process, it's everybody that comes to see me usually has tried every place else and nothing's helping. So their body has already been challenged so much that, and things actually get into the nervous system. So a lot of the times where blood test is not showing Lyme, we're finding it either in the lymphatic system or we're finding it in the nervous system or in the spine. And unless they had a spinal tap, they're not going to find it in the spine. So energetically, that's where we come in and we find it there. So if their vagus nerves have been, weakened by a toxin, because, you know, toxins don't just come in to our mouth and our eyes and get into our digestive system. It gets into other parts of our body. And so if it gets into the nerve pathways, then that vagus nerve cannot get the signals down to the rest of your body to tell it how to digest foods and when and how to process your hormones and how to do everything that it's supposed to do. Your vagus nerves are the largest nerves in your body. It goes from the brain all the way down to the feet. And then all the other smaller nerves are, so think of that as the main highway for your brain to get all the signals down to the rest of your body to tell it what to do. If there's too many roadblocks from toxins, then it's not getting there. So it's a hit or miss of whether something's going to work one day and not the other. So that's where we find a lot of things. It's in that vagus nerve. And a lot of times we have to, you know, sometimes if they've had something for so long in their body, their body actually thinks that it's part of it now. So we have to give their body something better to feed and strengthen that area before their body can figure out, oh, I like this better. Yeah, no, this doesn't belong here. Get rid of this. So we need to feed and strengthen those nerve pathways, and then all the messages can get down. Your brain can tell your body, yeah, this doesn't belong here. Let's get rid of it. So,
wow.
So sometimes
amazing.
We have to do that. So there's a lot of things that go into this testing. You know,
well, you use, you know, the knowledge. Then you have the experience from doing this for so long. And then you mm-hmm. have intuition, right? You can kind of read and sense a person's mm-hmm. body as well. So you're using all of these aspects. I mean, I know for teaching yoga, like the more people I see, the easier it is for me to understand different bodies. The more people you see, just like I saw mm-hmm. all these different people for 2 years, I learned a lot just from that. You know, that this giant yeah. man does need smaller dosages. Why? And mm-hmm. it's so fascinating. So, I mean, kudos to you for doing this type of job. And then mm-hmm. I guess let's lead that into kind of the last thing that I wanted to talk about, which was the coronavirus.
Oh.
And how, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I feel lucky to know you in that, you know, a virus is a virus is a virus, and you would treat this virus just like any other virus. Have you seen anyone with corona at the office yet?
Well, we think we did, but way before anybody, all this stuff stopped, the whole world, right? We think we did. But it just shows up as a virus. So corona, the name coronavirus has been around forever, years and years and years and years. It's just different versions of a virus. So some have bacterial components, which this did, which gets into people's lungs, and that's what made it more difficult to fight. But once all of this started to come out, and if there were our regular customers anyway, then we said, well, you know, we're going to do this by phone. So we don't, well, first of all, you know, having it spread to anybody else, especially if it was this type with the bacterial that gets into the lungs, we don't want to make anybody else sick. And I mean, before we always wore masks and gloves anyway. So we say, yeah, come on in and we'll figure out what it is, and people start to feel better. So like I said, there is some people that we really believed that that's what they had when they came in the fall. And so then pretty much from there, if I look in people's folders, if they ever had a virus before, so we make recommendations on what they should take. And we, you know, we screen them a lot too. So from that point on, we really didn't have anybody come into the office that thought that they either were exposed to somebody or not. I mean, we did have our regular Lyme clients, and that's the other thing. I mean, some of the people came in thinking that they had the flu when it was mold that they were exposed yes. to. So it really mm. wasn't that. So there's a lot of questions we sort through over the phone, and then we say, okay, come on in. And we all do precautions and all that stuff. And, you know, as soon as we see whether they're testing for mold or not, then of course everybody feels a lot more comfortable. But I mean, there was one point in time where Dr. Spencer, he was coughing. And I kind of pushed him into letting me test him that one night. And it was mold. And then when we talked about it, well, he was redoing his basement and had found mold in his basement. So now it all made sense. And then within 2 or 3 days, all of his congestion and everything was starting to go away. So it wasn't a cold at all, which people coming into the office was really kind of scared because they thought they were going to get it from him. But it wasn't that at all. It was mold. So
yeah, you just never know what people have. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to just talk to them.
Yeah, I think you had originally in March said to all of your clients, you know, if you think that you have it, you know, make sure you're stocked up on these particular things that you could at least start to take before I can see you or before we can talk on the phone so that we had some sort of preventative maintenance. But again, I did not want to dose up and lower my immunity just by taking stuff just because of fear or anything like that.
Right.
It's certainly something that, you know, we're definitely a little bit more empowered in knowing that, I mean, you see that Lyme disease could have co-infections, just like the corona they're seeing now has these other aspects to it, like neurotoxins and other aspects, like they could have a fever, but no cough. They could have the pneumonia or lung type issues, but not anything else, or they could have this neurotoxin piece, but not the other things. So yeah, I mean, it's way more complex than anyone could ever think.
I had one client that called us up and said, I've had a sore throat for 2 months and I've been to the doctors. I've been on antibiotics. Nothing is touching it. I really don't think I have this virus. It's not in my lungs. It's a sore throat. So after talking with him for a long time, we said, okay, come on in. And it ended up being some kind of, oh my goodness, he had, and he, when us, once we started talking about what that toxin was, he knew exactly what happened. He had a partial, and he was playing with his son, and his son hit his head on his mouth, and the partial broke. Well, apparently, the bonding that held the partial together had a chemical in it, and, or a metal. It was chromium. And once it broke, then that's what got stuck in his throat. So after 2-3 days of taking the right thing, his sore throat went away.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I think people need to understand is if it's the right thing, and you, and your body has told Denise or whoever the story, then it only takes that short time before you feel better. I don't know if we quickly have time to tell two of my major stories, which was the radiation sprayed for termites and that affected my heart muscles. I couldn't even breathe. And thank God for Denise because it was getting very serious as the day progressed and I had no idea what it was. And it felt like I needed to stretch my chest. And anyway, you saw me off hours. You don't do that very often, but I was really struggling. And I mean, within, I would say less than 15 minutes.
I had you take something right away. Yeah. Cause I was too scared for you to drive home.
Yeah.
So
in less than 15 minutes, the seizing around my heart of that radiation I was exposed to went away. I mean, that quickly. And so, of course, I had to take some protocol for a little bit longer, but the immediate symptoms. And then the time that I was exposed to, was it asbestos? Oh, no. It was on the stone, the crystal that I got in the mail.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was some kind of a metal. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And I just handled a stone that I got in the mail that was bright yellow. And I was sick.
So like, toxic.
I was so sick.
I said, you got to go wrap it up and put it outside in the garbage. Get rid of it. Get it away out of your house.
Yeah, would even put it on land. Right. But it was so intense. I mean, I couldn't even move my eyeballs. It was so bad. And within, I mean, I don't even know how I drove to your place, but again, you gave me the drops right there. We opened them up right there. And within 20 minutes, it was like unbelievable how quickly right thing works. But anyway, yeah. I'm a little bit older, a little bit smarter, trying to figure out where my things come from.
Yeah, I had a client from Vermont, the husband and wife, and he could barely make it to the office. He doesn't even know how he made it all over there. But it, anyway, we found mercury in his body. And so, of course, he was a regular client of mine. So he started taking things right away. So by the time I finished testing her, he was starting to feel better and his eyes were focusing better and he could actually make it home. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It's intense. And yeah. Again, it doesn't really matter what you found. It's that in your testing, this is what it showed and this is what took care of it. And
this is what your body said needed to help it do its job, right?
Right.
And that's what we do. We provide people with the pieces to help their body actually take over and do their job. That's what we want.
Well, I thank you for existing and being in my life. And a little fun fact, you are actually Stacy's mother. We did an interview with Stacy on energy. So I appreciate you taking the time to do this today.
You're very welcome. And I hope that people listen and give it some thought and think of and
get something out
their
of it,
body actually trying to tell them something. And I think we take that for granted.
Yeah, it's always about paying attention. Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for doing this on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm sure you have classes and everything else going on in your life. So thank you also.
Thank you for listening. I do hope that there was something out of this that allowed you to understand yourself and your body better. I will include a lot of what we talked about in the episode notes, as well as a blog that I had written on the vagus nerve, so you understand that a little bit better. And I'll actually add the one on the lymphatic system as well, so you can get a little bit of an indication on that if you haven't read it already. One of the other ways that I work with Denise is that anyone that takes the yoga training program, the 10-month long program with me, part of that is that they get an appointment with Denise. And I just really love this aspect of the training because they get to see this whole overall piece, this whole overarching piece of what it takes to be well and how it takes a village to be better. It's never just one thing. So if you are interested in the training, we do have applications now on the website. It's actually on the main page under Ohana Trainings. I hope you have the best day and I love you all.